Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
And welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Radio Network. This here is the Six Eyes Gospel Show on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We want to say welcome one, welcome all to the program today, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press that number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, your prayer praises, any of those good things, as we have a great time in the Lord today. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we're going to get started right here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way. And Lord Jesus, this is another day. So we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And we ask you right now that you would take the wheel of this here program, have your perfect will and your perfect way, Lord Jesus. We ask you that you would just have your perfect will. And we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, first to touch those that are listening, especially that soul who is nearest hell, Lord Jesus. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, and let them come to you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, a special blessing, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping up for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children out there, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with some sort of illness, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and help them, Lord Jesus. Maybe, if it be your will, Lord Jesus, heal them with your mighty hand, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, those who have lost somebody due to some sort of illness or what have you, Lord Jesus, we ask you to comfort the family and friends, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, finally, for all these dirty, rotten situations we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we need you, Lord Jesus, to teach us how to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor, who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right. So, Queen Nye, who do we got with us? And how are you doing mentally there? We're going to check in with that.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone around the world. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. I just want to say that I think I'm about two thumbs up. And Diamond is up and happy this morning, and I'm sure Trumpet is too. So two paws up for Trumpet, two paws up for Diamond. And right now, it's just you, I, and the good Lord.
And, yeah, we got Ruth listening in, but she's not feeling too good, so we'll pray for her. We'll pray for Emily, and definitely praying for all these situations that are out there. We know that we just got to pray for all of that. And I've got two thumbs up. My wings are spread just right. My halo's right in place. And so we are going to go ahead and get into our scripture reading, and then we will get into some good boogie music for the Lord, and then we'll move on and wait for Pastor Bonnet. So here is our scripture reading.
All right.
This is Job chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it, in it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still remain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we receive evil? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Benjamite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw his grief was very great. And this was Job chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Hey, some people say, well, I'll take on the devil. Trust me. You take on the devil. You don't want to take him on because, as we find in Job chapters 1 and 2, devil, when he hits you, your kids are gone, your finances are gone, wife gets mad, and you're covered in boils. Not a pretty sight. So when the devil takes you on, you're in sorry shape. Ask Job. So, all right, Queen Nye, let's boogie.
All right, yeah. Excuse me, I was just going to say, the book of Job has so many lessons, and you know, I see his strength and his faith, and I've always admired that, you know, the book of Job. So it's one of my favorite as well. Well, all right, let's get into this music. All right, here we go.
Bobby Jones, NSC, and the wonderful voice of Faith Eddie.
Stepped in on time. Pockets low, I didn't have a dime. know about y'all, but God's been good to me, and I got something to praise him for. Let me see you put your hands together and praise.
What's up, family? What's good?
Hey.
Why y'all looking all sad? Mary, Mary here, Ruben, everybody in the cup. We ready to do this?
Nah, man. Everybody's running late.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And I hope they make it.
Oh, they'll make it. They may be late, but they'll make it.
They better make it, because we've got a lot to do.
Love him like I do. Love him like I do. That's why I love him like I do. Love him like I do. Love, 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 love.
My folks and friends, listen to these words. See God save me from myself when no one else was around. And it was only by His grace, His mercy, His favor. Cause I know I don't deserve all the love He showed me, how He let me know He never gonna leave my side.
So when I was just a sinner left in the cold, He gave me a second chance, saved me from myself, came to my rescue when I needed help. You wanna know why I love Him like I do? That's when my enemy said I was through. He took me from the bottom and put me on the top. He laid His hands on me and now I can't be stopped.
I love you. can't explain how I feel. The love you have for me is unreal. I'm unfaithful to you all the time. I'm ashamed to say that out loud. I'm so sorry, Dad. In the midst of me doing you wrong, I hear your voice say, no, daughter, wrong choice. But when I want what I want in that moment, and I make decisions I wish that I didn't, and I end up running right back to you.
Yes, you'll want to do right here on the Surprise Radio Network.
When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time, one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey,
he saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
everyone else
around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, see, he is mine, and I am. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Help me sing it.
Yeah, girl. And that he is mine.
He's mine.
I'm his.
I'm
his. Said it doesn't matter what
it doesn't
I did.
Matter what I did.
He only sees me for who
he
I am.
He only sees
yeah.
me for who I am. Tonight. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see? He saw the best.
I can't get no help up in here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you'd never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did he see?
The best.
I said, 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 what did he see?
Determined, I'm committed that I run, no matter the cost. And I have decided, determined, I'm committed that I'll run, even though at times I may get lost. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where or when or how, but I know that I'm going to make it. Oh, I'll run this race, now so safely in amazing grace. I made up my mind, and I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. And I'm going to run. I don't know where, I don't know when or how, but I know I'm gonna make it. Oh, run this race, nestled safely in amazing grace. I made up my mind, I don't have much time, so I'll run till I finish. Oh, I made up my mind, I don't have much time, but I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run till I finish. Yeah, I made up my mind, I don't have much time, but I'll run.
All right. Missionary Ken, are you there?
Yeah, I am here. You must have not popped us back on the thing there because I didn't hear the ending of the song. All right. All right. Well, that was a good song while it lasted anyhow. But I was getting into that there, Queen. I might have to run that again. I run this race. Eventually, we'll be actually having you. You'll have to remind me the title of that song because I'm going to send that to me in an email because I'm going to need that. There's a purpose in it. Because when we do our special service on the cover-to-cover for our dedication of the bus when it actually gets here, that's one of the songs I'm going to be requesting. So for right now, who we have today is our one and only Pastor Bonnet from True Faith, Word of Faith, and we are ready for a good message from him. So I've got my spiritual knife and fork out looking for some good steak today. As always, got the old tractor trailer, as me and Emily would say, backed up to the dock, ready for a good load of the Word of God. So here we have Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, Missionary Ken. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. Amen. Man, y'all really give me some tall shoes to fill. Amen. Remember, I'm just a little short fella. Amen. And I'm just going to do the best I can. But we give honor to God today, who is the head of my life. Amen. I thank God for saving me. Amen. For redeeming my soul from the pits of hell. Amen. Thank God that I am spirit-filled, spirit-baptized, amen. I speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gives me utterance. I believe in the power of laying on hands and casting out demons and praying for the sick, and Lord God, help today, amen. I believe in the power of God that did wonders and miracles in biblical times. I believe that same power and that same spirit is still in operation in the world today. Amen. And I am a product of the power changing, that changing power of God's word. Amen. And so I'm thankful today to be here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving your house. Amen. Amen. But if you're able to leave your house, amen, we want you to have a local worship center. Amen. A place where you can go and pray, a place where you can have other believers fellowshipping one with another as we worship God together. Amen. It's a privilege in being able to do something of that magnitude together. Amen. So many people don't realize the great significance of that. And we'll talk about that another day at another time. But I'm thanking God for all the leaders here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. I give respect and honor to all of you that help make production go smoothly and well. We thank God for Brother Six, amen, for the vision of the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. And we thank God for all of those that have come along to help him, to encourage him, especially those that are pushing the word of faith in God our Savior. Amen. And so once again, it is an honor and privilege to be with you here today. Do we have Evangelist Clayton on the line today? I got a request of her before I start this message today. Amen. If she's on the line.
She's not here just yet.
Okay. All right. Well, I was thinking sometimes, you know, a lot of times we, and thank God for our modern technology, amen, and things that God allows us to do today. But every now and then we have to look back and think about, I will call it simpler times, when times were simpler. Man, there was a certain joy that we got out of going to church all day long. And I know y'all don't want to hear that today. Because some people don't think it takes all of that. But no good relationship, no good, listen, there's no good relationship that don't involve time. I'm going to say it one more time so you understand me clearly. There's no good relationship that did not involve quality time. You can't say that you are a servant of God, a lover of God, and you only give him 1 or 2 hours out of every week. You can't say that. You can say that, but it won't be true. Because you yourself would not have a significant other that say they love you, say they want to be with you, and they only spend time with you 1 hour, 2 hours out of every week. And every now and then, they miss a week. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. Amen. They don't go to Bible study. They don't stay for Sunday school or come early for Sunday school, whichever your case may be. Amen. And then you will call it good. Nevertheless, that's what we do to God. That's how we treat God. We want God to be there for our every need. We want God to be our guide, but we don't ask him for direction, not until we're fully lost and confused and don't know what to do. And so we must break that bad habit. It is something that we've done because of, quote, unquote, religious practices. And I mean just that. Christianity may be called a religion, but true Christianity, regardless of the affirmation, true Christianity is a faith. It is not a religion. It is faith. That's why, as you read the New Testament, they were first called believers long before they were called Christians. The question is, do we have any true believers today? Now, none of that is my message today, so somebody must have needed to hear those words as the Holy Spirit guided me to release them today. So I encourage you to develop a more intimate relationship with God. Sometimes we pray, and you say, well, I don't hear nothing from God. Well, how long did you wait for an answer? Amen. And how did you pray? Did you come before his presence with thanksgiving? Or did you start the prayer out complaining about what he didn't do last time? Did you start the prayer out saying, well, Lord, if you could or if you would, if you have time, if it be possible, if it be your will, did you start your prayer out like that? Those prayers are prayers of doubt. Those prayers are usually those with no solid conviction. The Bible says they that come after God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So how are you coming after God? How are you going after God? It's amazing today with technology like what we have today. Most of us will follow our celebrities, our American idols, or whatever nation you may be in. You'll follow whatever fan club or actor or actress or songer, songwriter, songstress, singers, whatever pop star. You'll follow them everywhere. But you won't follow your pastor and when they go speaking to different churches or venues. You won't follow the church program for growth and outreach. Amen. It's amazing how we say we love God, but we put everything before him. Now, that can happen to even the most devout Christian because sometimes we get distracted. We get caught up with the hustle and bustle of life, and we forget to pray. We forget to say thank you. We forget to study. And yes, the scripture does encourage us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Because there's some errors out there. There's some false teachings out there. There's some false prophets out there. We'll talk about that in a moment. And the only way you're going to know the false is you're going to have to understand the real. This is a true statement concerning the FBI and counterfeit money. Many think that they have to study all the different forms of how to counterfeit money. No. Their one practice, their one solid practice is to know every distinguished marking of our genuine bills, our currency. Their job is to understand every line, every watermarking, who's on what bill. The feel of it, the texture of the bill or the coin. Their job is to study the original. So whenever anything comes across that don't have that same feel, that same look, that same identity, they immediately know that this is a fake. And some of us, we won't know a false prophet because we haven't studied any real prophets. some of us won't know a false word because we haven't studied any real word. I heard it like this. One preacher was saying two men got together, was talking about the Bible and talking about the things of God. And one man decided to say, he said, man, I bet you don't know the Bible. You don't need to know the Lord's Prayer. He said, I do know the Lord's Prayer. And they talked about it, fussed about it for a moment. He said, I bet you $100 that you don't know the Lord's Prayer. And he said, I do. The bet is on. The bet is on. He said, all right, what's the Lord's Prayer? He said, it goes like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Amen. The sad thing about it is the man that made the bet said, man, I thought you didn't know it. And he paid him anyway. Lord have mercy. Because he didn't know it for himself. So when he heard it, it sounded good. But that wasn't the Lord's Prayer. That wasn't what Jesus taught the disciples to pray. He taught them, our Father, when we go before the Lord, our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so when you don't know, anything can pass as the original. They told us everything shining is not gold. So we must pay attention. Amen. I may not be able to finish this message today, but I'm going to do that there at best. Because there's a lot of depth to the message that I have for you on today. So to all of you that like to take notes, amen, I'm going to just give you my outline. For those of you that really want to study the word, I encourage you to go back and read the book of Judges. That's right. There's a book called Judges. I know you got that stigma. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Well, judge me. If need be, please judge me. Because the word judgment don't mean condemnation. The word judgment means justice. And a lot of us been dealt injustice. And don't you want somebody to give you what's right? Amen? But the truth of it is, some of us know we're not doing right. And if we are judged, they know that hardship is coming because we haven't done what we're supposed to do. But Judges chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 will be a great reading for you. Judges 6, excuse me. You can read 5. 5 is a good judgment. You can read about Deborah in Judges 5, amen, how she judged the nation of Israel. That goes for all our men preachers that keep trying to make the woman a subservient. Read that text. It's right there. I didn't make it up. I didn't write it. Read it. It explains itself. It tells you what she did. So, again, that's not my message. Let me get to where I belong. So, those of you that's going to follow me, your background reading will be from Judges chapter 6 and 7. Amen. And you may want to read 8 as well to complete the teaching of Gideon. Amen. But also, I'm going to start here in 1 John 4. We're going to read about 4 or 5 verses here. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now, I don't have a problem with reading the word. I think we have to go back to doing that as much because thank God that I have the ability to explain and to elaborate. But it's something about the power of God's word. It speaks volume of itself if we listen, if we give heed to it, if we pay attention. And so let's look at this. I want to give us, and this, again, this month, emphasis coming from Pastor Bonnet is the month we're dealing with the anointing, Last week I talked about the anointing in you and the anointing on you. And I gave us one person who demonstrated that example of being anointed, that means the anointing, you being anointed and having anointing. And what that simply is, one anointing covers you, but the other anointing is the work that you do. Amen. And so speaking from the work that we do, I'm going to be speaking from the anointing of purpose. Amen. Each one of us are anointed for a purpose in life. Amen. I'm going to say that again because it's very important for all of us to hear that. Each one of us are anointed for a particular purpose in life. Amen. That means you have an anointing to win. Amen. Now, your win in what God has appointed you may be different from what he's appointed me. But we all are appointed to win. Now, let me bring that a little bit clearer, too, because, see, a lot of times when we think of winning, we think of strategies that involve many people because our mind says, I can win if I have this. I can win if I have that. I can win if they support this, if they are with me. And we begin to, we don't understand that what we're doing is misdirecting our faith. Yes, we believe we can win, but we only believe that we can win if this lines up this way or that lines up that way or if I have this to follow me or if I have this education or if I have this much money. And we think our winning is predicated on what we can produce. And I want to blow that out the water today. I just want to blow that out the water. There's a famous movie to those of you that's into movies, we're going to see where they got the title. Some of y'all may know it, the movie called 300. Many of us, we watched that movie back in the day and it was, oh, wow, man, these men did it. And we talked about how courageous these men were. But number one, they got it from the Bible. They got the idea from God's word here in Judges. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that the men were so courageous. Amen. I'm about to get ahead of myself. But it was because these men was the chosen few. Almost they was the ones that was left behind. Amen. They was the remnant. Amen. And we'll get to that in just a moment. So anointed for purpose is the title of the message today. Anointed for purpose. I want you to really feel this, okay? So why do I keep thinking more is better? I want to attack that image in our mind that keeps thinking, making us think I can be better if I had more. I'm serious. One of the worst thing that hinders us from moving forward is we think we got to have it all together. You know, when you invite certain sinners to church, they say, well, I will go to church, but I need to get myself together. That's the problem. That's the reason why we're asking you to come, because you can't do it on your own. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And so God bless you, Evangelist Clayton. Glory to God. I demonstrated my own purpose. I wanted you in the beginning, but the Lord didn't allow you to be here at the beginning just so that I can make this point even more obvious than what it is, because sometimes we think that in order to start, we have to have this. Glory to God. But God, in his divine wisdom, he didn't allow you to be here in the beginning, even though I wanted you in the beginning to help me set an atmosphere. God did it on his own a whole different way. And that is in his explanation right now. It's amazing how the word of God become a rhema for us. So, because y'all heard me ask for it. Y'all heard me call for her. Amen. And she wasn't there, but I hear her now. Amen. Amen. It wasn't that she wasn't relevant, but God knew the point that he gave me to express. And he knew how to, glory, hallelujah, he knew how to bring the point better than I could myself. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So why do we keep trying to think, or why do we keep thinking more is better? I want you to ask yourself, and tell the whole truth. All of us think that way. I wish I had a bigger car, but you don't want to do this. I wish I had a bigger house, but you don't want to clean the one you got. Claudia, I wish I had a bigger man. Women, I hope you ain't the men saying that, but the women. But you don't want to be subject to nobody. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to get back to my text. Go back to my text. Glory to God. So we're not to be trying to win battles the same way the world wins. I want to put that in, that understanding off the top here. We are not to be trying to win battles in this world the same way that the world wins battles. Oftentimes, many of our strategies are based on what we see in the world. But God don't work that way.
That's right.
He already told us our ways are not his ways, nor our thoughts his.
That's right.
So God doesn't move with, God does more, excuse me, God does more with our less than we can do with our more.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again so that you'll get that understanding. God does more with our less.
Yes, God.
Amen. Y'all think about the little boy that had the five loaves and two little fishes. God does more with our less than we can do with our more.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, 1 through 5. I'm going to try to read that without stopping. Amen. I say I'm going to try. Glory to God. Y'all pray for the preacher. He might do all right. Amen. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Oh, I said I'm going to try not to stop, but I got to stop. That's our problem.
We
believe everything that seems spiritual.
Come on.
Not understanding that spiritual simply means the unseen. And so the unseen can be good and bad. And so, yes, it may be spiritual, but what kind of spirit is it? I can see that you're spiritual. Yeah, but you're full of the devil. Oh, Lord, help the day.
Read the text, preacher.
Beloved, he's talking, in other words, John is talking to believers. He's not talking to sinners. He's not talking to the unbelief. He's talking to those of the household of faith.
Come on.
He said, beloved, believe not every spirit. Hear these words. But try the spirit, whether they be of God. Because, and he gives us explanation, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false prophets, those that's making announcements. That's what a prophet did. A prophet made announcement of things to come. A prophet was supposed to be those that saw or heard from God.
He said,
because many false.
Many.
There's a false, that means there's a truth. Well, that means there's some true prophets out here. Amen. My hands are raised. You can't see me because I'm not going to tell you God said something if I didn't hear God say it.
That's right.
Because many prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. He's teaching us, church. This is how we to know in this dispensation of time,
mm-hmm.
of the New Testament, because that's what we're in. We're in New Testament time. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ, it is significant. This is the Word, the Anointed One. So, mm-hmm. so if you read this in the original text, it would have said Yeshua, and this word would have been this word here would have said Messiah. In the Hebrew, it says so. So here it is, the Word, the Messiah being God's Anointed One.
Mm-hmm.
So the Word, God's Anointed One. Hereby how you know the Word, the Anointed One, or the Anointed Word, is come in the flesh. Come where? In the flesh. This is how we know that Jesus is real. Not just Jesus, but Jesus Christ. Amen. I have come in the flesh is of God. Anybody that will confess that Jesus Christ has come of God. You can't confess that he's of, and this God here is Jehovah. Glory to God. So this is how we know that the Word comes, that the Word came flesh. So John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So now he's coming around in the fourth chapter, and he's saying to us, this is how we know. So we got it. Number one, folks, we have to learn how to try the Spirit by the Spirit to see if it is of God. Why? Because when you try the Spirit of God in the spirit realm, it's going to verify that God said it or not. Verse 3, and that's what we're building to go back to giving it as a reference to know how to try the Spirit. Amen. Because some of us, we do some stupid stuff now because we misunderstand old text. Amen. And every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereby ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. It is in the world already. So this was 2,000 years ago. It was the Antichrist was already there. Those that oppose the Spirit of Christ, the Word of God, through Jesus the Christ, amen, this is the one that came against him from the beginning. As many things that will let you have your church service, so long as you don't learn to worship the true and living God. We ain't going to go there, because that will change the whole message. Glory to God. And ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. What did you overcome? The false prophet. You have overcome those of the Antichrist. That's already in the world. So when people tell you don't take all that to serve God, you ain't got to do all that to Jesus. I don't see why y'all, and that's the Antichrist speaking through them. See, a lot of times we entertain stuff. We don't need to understand that the enemy is attacking your faith. I almost need to stay there because I feel somebody lingering. He said, ye are of God, little children. Why did he call us little children? Because we still are childlike in our thinking. We haven't matured in our faith. Having overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Stop letting non-believers coach you on trusting God. Because the truth of the matter, some of them trust God better than we do. And they in all kinds of error. But they have more positive speaking on what they hoping God will give them than what we do, that know that we serve God, that we love God, but we still allow fear to come in and cause us to doubt God. So I want to say to us today, stop running to everyone and stop running everywhere to get a word from God. Stop running to everyone and everywhere to get a word from God.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Because you don't know who's teaching what.
That's right.
But when you are with a steady pastor, when you have a father in the gospel, you can have many other tutors, but you only need one father in the gospel. In other words, there's one shepherd, but many helping hands. The book of Psalms, I forgot to give y'all this one, Psalm 46, verse 10, it tells us this. Be still. Ooh, ooh. I'm going to say it again because I meant to speak here. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. So you ain't got to run everywhere to get a word from God. Open your Bible.
That's right.
Study yourself. Amen, somebody. Amen. So I'm going to Judges now, Judges chapter 6. Verse 1 says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In other words, as a nation, these people whom God delivered out of the hands of the Egyptians worked the mighty works among them, took them to a promised land, defeated their enemies, and now they have, in the absence of solid leadership, they have begun to redo the very same thing God delivered them from. One of the things that God delivered them from was serving idol gods, using talismans, and y'all know the little tiki poles that they, a certain culture of Indian and other groups, they will erect these little totem poles up, and they each one of these poles will have figures of an eagle or this or that, and these were supposed to be their guardian warriors to ward out evil spirit or attacks against their village or the, and so they would put these poles in the beginning of their camp, and they would go out to these poles and build altars around these poles and worship these idols that they carved out of wood and built these poles of. This is what Israel began to do after God had then delivered them. So Joshua is gone from the scene. Now Deborah is gone from the scene. Deborah was a judge. That's why I said you have to go back and read chapter 5. So those that was keeping Israel in line or helping to keep Israel in line, now each one of them began to do things out of the will of God. See, let me pause today You say, well, it ain't going to hurt. It's in the newspaper. It ain't like I'm dialing no 1-800 number. I'm going to just read to see what they say my horoscope going to be today. I don't necessarily believe it, but I'm going to read it anyway. Why are you reading it? If you don't believe it, why are you reading it? If you know it's not of God, well, you know, sometimes this, some of that stuff, it makes sense. You reasoning yourself to accept the devil's rule. You're reasoning in yourself to accept what the devil has to say. It is called a horoscope. The very statement itself sounds wrong. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. That's all right. Going back to the text. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Medes 7 years. Some of us wondering why we're going through some trouble. Maybe it's because we've been worshiping other things and calling it God. Or we say we love God or we worship God, but we ain't been worshiping him. We've been following, let me take it home to some of us. When we begin to say our pastor better than this next pastor. You have forgot why you come to church. We come to church to worship God. Well, my pastor preached better than y'all pastor, man. Shoot, our pastor did that. You begin to boast on not the anointing in the person, but the person. I'm trying to help us. We don't know how quickly this thing can unline. That's why I say, I thank God that I'm able to touch y'all's lives with the word of God. But everything that I do is only because God has allowed me to. It is he that worketh through me. It ain't me. So we give God the glory. So thank you for your accolades. That's fine. But we worship the true and living God. Amen, somebody. Verse 7 says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried to the Lord. And notice I skipped a few verses because that's what happened in our lives. We start out delivered. God bless us. And we get so caught up in the blessing till we skip God. You know, God bless you with a little money in your pocket and you got to miss church 3 weeks in a row. You done got your tax money back, and so you going on vacation and this and that. And I ain't saying it's wrong for you to go on vacation. I ain't saying it's wrong for you to take it. But how many of y'all know I had a prayer line for 7 years? And there was times where I had family vacation during that time of the prayer because it was the same day every week. And in the we haven't got to the theme park, and that time came along. And I think Mikhail was still with, had started praying with us by that time. And I, yep. And I told them, I said, so that's my testimony. That's my witness right there, y'all, that I ain't lying. And I was on vacation. And they said, Pastor Bonnie, you can enjoy your vacation. I say, no, this prayer time. No, this prayer time. Somebody else can pray. I know somebody else can pray, but this is prayer time. We have dedicated this time for the Lord. And so if God is important enough for you to give him time, that even on your vacation, when that time comes, you still give it to him. Amen now. Amen. So the Bible says here, verse 7, mm-hmm. and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, because of the Midianites. We started crying when we can't pay them bills. We started crying when people started misusing us on our jobs and in our careers. We started crying when our spouses don't agree with us and we started having too many heated fellowships. We started crying when our circumstance no longer looked like what we wanted it to look like. And the Lord sent a prophet. The Lord sent what? A prophet. The Lord sent a word. He sent a spokesman to come and to tell them. So, and the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus says the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. Egypt is your place of bondage. Many of us, before Christ, we had a lifestyle that was a place of bondage. And that's why the scripture tells us in the New Testament, whom the Son set free is free indeed. So he said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. In other words, so, and what we have to understand, sometimes our house of bondage is our own mind frame. One of the things that I thought it was wonderful that evangelist Clayton had on a program was somebody that was getting them to do what we call a breathing exercise. But I want to drop a nugget on how all of us should move forward with these breathing exercises, because as we breathe in, we're breathing in God oxygen. Mm-hmm. But when we breathe out, we're breathing out carbon dioxide. In other words, we're breathing into us life, amen. And we're breathing out that which stops life, amen. And so if we take a mental approach at that, as we breathe in, we're to be thanking God for the process of thought. As we release all negative thoughts, y'all, ooh, Lord help today. So as you exercise that breathing exercise, receive life and release death. Receive life and release death. And death is anything that leads you away from God's will for your life. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. I'm talking to us as the body of Christ today. Sometimes we have to ask the question, whose voice am I following? And that's why I gave us John first, because some of us, we hear a lot of voices. But sometimes that voice is just us. It's not God. It's just somewhere down inside of us. And let me help you. Eve had seen the tree of the knowledge of good and evil every day for as long as she was in the garden. We don't know how long. The Bible don't give us how long. She just did not. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not something she just saw. The fruit that was on that tree was not something that just now blossomed and looked good. She had been seeing that tree. She had been observed the tree. And perhaps Adam said, hey, back up away from you, a little too close. I don't know. He said, we can't eat it, so listen, we ain't even going to, unless something wrong, we're gonna walk over here to this other tree. We're going to enjoy the shade over here. We ain't even going over there. We don't know the conversation. All we know is the devil said to her, did God say? Not the Lord God, but did God say? He challenged her on so many levels that she didn't even realize he was breaking her down in her mental thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He diminished who God was in her eyes. and then said he was holding something back from her. You got everything you want, everything you need. She don't know a need. Listen to me. She's naked in the garden, free. Now, my sister's sitting over here, so I'm gonna throw this out there because she did this when she was little. We stayed in an apartment called Caravan one time, and my little sister got out of the tub, and I was outside. I went outside to go play with my friends, and the door, I didn't close the door behind me, and she came mm-hmm. as naked as she was born to the door. Amen. Yeah, I'm feeling on you, girl. I naked as she was looking at us outside playing, and she wanted to come out, and she started coming out the door. She was just as naked and just as free and did not know. And she, and her mind was, shoot, y'all are playing. Let me play too. Amen. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have no worry. Amen. I said, girl, get back in the house. You ain't got no clothes on. Like, and she, look, her, she was innocent.
Yes. Yes.
She was innocent. So Eve was innocent, mm-hmm. but the devil was not. Yes. And a lot of yes. times our ambitions in life are innocent. Devil's Holy Ghost.
Thank you, God.
But the devil is not innocent. He's not caring about your innocence if yes, he can sir. Manipulate you because of what you know or don't know. He will manipulate you.
Yes.
Help us, Lord.
Jesus.
And he said to her, what did God really say? And he basically said, when she repeated, lie. No. God knows if you eat this, you're going to be just like him. So that says to me, somewhere in her mind, she didn't realize she was already like God.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in her mind, she thought of herself less than what
yes.
she should have been thinking.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes this is how many women have been tripped up to give their bodies
yes.
to the wrong people.
Yes. Yeah.
To the wrong man. It's because he made you feel better than what you should have been feeling about yourself all along. Or I'm helping somebody. And because he made you feel better, you thought he deserved your body. Well, mm-hmm. after that. Now, I don't know who that's for. If it's for you, say amen. If you fell for it, ouch. But don't fall for it no more.
Mm-hmm.
And after he got it, he was gone. And you wondering what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of realizing that was a fool and you fell for a fool, you thought something was wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been carrying that load for 10, 15 years.
Come on, yeah.
And that rejection with you, and you haven't forgiven yourself. Never mind him. You ain't even forgave yourself for falling for the trap.
Come on, him.
I'm trying to help somebody.
Help us.
So the Bible says that she began to look at the fruit and saw it was desirable. No, she saw the fruit, and because she kept looking at it, she began to desire it because it would make her wise.
Yes.
She wanted a quick fix.
Quick fix.
And that introduced a whole lot of other stuff. Going back to my text. Amen. So the Lord said, verse 10, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. but ye have not obeyed my voice. Sometimes just because you're in a certain atmosphere, you may not be in a place where you think you deserve to be or where you do deserve to be. Don't fear the people around you. Don't fear their God. Don't fear their authority. Don't fear their power. Understand who you serving. See, I told people all the time, we were poor, but we didn't know we were poor. Because we were never dirty unless we was outside playing. My mama kept us in clean clothes all the time. We learned how to iron clothes at a young age.
That's right. That's right.
Mama kept us clean. Our house stayed in order. When it got out of order, at the end of the week, it was back in order.
That's right. That's right.
Are you right?
When I first moved out, I had a studio apartment. I moved that thing around in the few years that I stayed there. I done redecorated that thing and moved everything around. And every time, different time, my friends would come over and visit and say, man, what they done gave you another unit? Say, man, you, boy, you be moving. I said, I can't help it, man. My mama did this to me. My mama did this to me. I just woke up and was tired of looking at it that way. My mama, man, blame my mama. But that thing helped me. Because one of the blessings that gave me was a gift in organization. And with the company I was working for, when I moved up to a stock manager, my DM used to send me to different stores just to organize their stock room. Hmm. Well, despise not the days of small beginning. Amen. Sometimes we don't realize that God will put certain skills in us in the little stuff. And we don't even realize what God is doing in our lives to bless us later on. So stop thinking that you need more to be accepted. You need to have everything in order to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And there came an angel of the Lord saying and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joshua. And his son Gideon, the threshing wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. This is where we at. This is where we at. This is the verse I was trying to get to. Verse 13, chapter 6 of Judges, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord. Now, in other words, sometimes we think, well, God, since I'm saved, why do I got to go through all of this trouble? Where's the God that my grandmama was teaching me about? Where's the God that when they anointed people that was blind or crippled became healed? Sometimes we have these questions today. Can we be real? Let's talk about real stuff. Sometimes our real cry, Lord, if you all of that, why I got to go through all of this?
Sometimes
that's just where we at. Where we at? Now, I'm not condemning us. I'm just telling us. Sometimes our real issue is God, where you at? Here we see. But what we don't realize is most of the time, if not all the time, the trouble was because we don't put faith in everything else but God. So God allowed us to go through trouble for a period of time to get our faith lined back up with him so that we can realize the devil don't have nothing to bless me with. He can bless me, but whatever he blessed me with has conditions. Whatever he blessed me with has a direct access to hell. God is going to talk to me. That's all right. Verse 13. So Gideon said unto him, talking to the angel. The angel came and said some good things to Gideon. And so Gideon says, you know, all right, preacher, a man of God, an angel, you know, that's how we do, you know. Oh, my Lord, if, that's what he said, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, be with us. Why then is all of this falling up? Why I got to go through bankruptcy, Lord? Why I got to go through a divorce, Lord? Why do I have to go through a broken heart, Lord? Why do I got to go through? Lord, help today. So sometimes that's where we at. So we were no different from Gideon. And we were called great. And we were working. And we were working, trying to try. And he's working in a place where what he's doing is behind something else, so that the enemy don't see what he's doing, so that he can have something to take something home to his family. You know, we call that getting paid under the table. Lord help the day. So while he was doing that, while he was working, notice he was working. Now, he wasn't laying nowhere asleep. Amen. To all y'all that were thinking, come by here, my Lord, and you sleep and you ain't working, he ain't coming.
He ain't working.
He ain't coming now. He ain't coming. I'm just letting you know right now.
Mm-hmm.
Come
back
here, my Lord. You ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't coming. But the Lord is omnipresent. Yeah, he right there, but he ain't. The spirit to move, to do, that ain't there. That's just his eyes. His eyes is here and there. It's everywhere. But his spirit, his spirit ain't there. Amen. So, he asked, why have all of this fallen up? And where be all his miracles, his being God, miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, bring us up from Egypt? God, didn't you deliver me from drugs? What's this temptation I'm dealing with now? God, didn't you deliver me from a promiscuous lifestyle? What's this I'm dealing with in my mind now? God, didn't you deliver me from fornication? From God, did you deliver me from homosexuality? God, did you deliver me from that? When we go to asking all of these questions, God, did you deliver me from Egypt? That's the bondage. Whatever that bondage is, all of our bondages are different. He's saying, didn't you bring my family out of that?
Yes.
Didn't you bring my family out of that brokenness? But now the Lord has forsaken us. Sometimes we feel like God has forsaken us and delivered us unto the hands of the Midianites. Well, he told partial truth. He observed what he saw. The partial truth is he only stated what was going on, but he didn't state why. Why goes all the way back to verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil where? In the sight of God. For them, the sight of God was at the temple or at the altar. So that means when it came down to the worship and the sacrifice, they wasn't doing it. You say, well, I'm going to go to church, but I ain't going to take no offering. And you got money. I know y'all don't like that, but that's wrong. Because there's obligations, especially in these days and times, for them lights to stay on in the temple. No utility company gives churches free utility. Lord, I wish it was so. And every pastor in the church, in the world said amen. So they did evil in the sight of God, and the Lord, and who? Not the devil. See, so many times we blame the devil for our calamity, and the devil is not responsible for our own misdeeds. He may have introduced it to us, but we had to say yes. See, Satan didn't put the fruit in Eve's mouth. He didn't even hand it to her. He just simply suggested it. What things are we being misled by only because people suggested them in our lives? That's why John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Satan is a fallen angel. He's an angel, a spirit. Beloved, brothers, sisters, people of faith, young and old, don't believe every spirit. Why? Satan is a spirit, deceiving as an angel of light. But try the spirit by the spirit, whether they be of God. We try the spirit by his word. Now Gideon asked these questions. They were hard questions. Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Yes. But now the Lord has forsaken us. No. He's punishing us. So if you're being punished of the Lord, you have to endure your punishment. And deliver us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him. He looked upon him. He's examined his heart. He was a man that don't understand their circumstances, but he wanted to be right. So, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this, thou mighty, or thou might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? So now God, he gives him a command, and he answers him even before he can respond to it, because he's already saying in his heart, he's thinking that he don't have the authority. He said, "Who's haven't I sent you?" Some of us, we're looking for licensing in our different organizational affirmations to tell somebody about God. God, remember, I told y'all Matthew 28, verses 19, 20, gives us all the licensing any of us need to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. He said, go. He didn't say, go Paul, go Peter, go James. He said, go. Put your name there. Go. And then your name. That's your licensing from him. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things, to observe all things I've commanded you. There's some things that God has commanded us that the world needs to see. The word said to observe. See, so the next time you're on social media, don't be bragging that you fed somebody poor. Brag about something else. Show them your worship, your prayer time. Let's talk about that. Take your social media site to your prayer room. They take them into the inter-sanctuary of the holies of holies that you have developed a worship center at your home. Well, y'all ain't gonna do that. Let me go on, preacher. Go on, preacher. Leave the folks alone. So here it is. Gideon is given this authority by God, and that brings me again to the to the earlier question, why do I think I need more to do what God told me to do? God sent me, he sent Gideon into battle. And so Gideon gathers 32,000. He gathered 32,000 men of Israel to fight. He gathered them. They're together, 32,000. And the Lord said, we're in Judges chapter 7 now. Go to the next chapter. Amen. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. See, some of you think you can't pastor well because you need a church of 2,000 or 3,000. You need a mega church. But why can't you pastor those 10 people God gave you? What's wrong with that? Why you need 100? Why you need 1,000? Why you need 10,000? Why? I ain't saying you shouldn't have it. Please don't misread that. But I'm saying to you, what's the point of having 100 people in your organization and none of them can witness what you preach? But you can have 10, and every one of those 10 go out and resound the very words that you release in the atmosphere of the sanctuary. Who's doing more for the kingdom? What ministry is being most effective that way? So you remember, God don't count like we do. When people say, that's all you got, just 10 members?
Come on now.
And they'll put you down. That's all you got? The next question they ask, if somebody, to all my pastors, to all my leaders, the next time somebody begin to put your group down, ask them, well, how many souls have you led to Christ since you've been where you are? And wait. Don't say nothing else. Please don't talk. Don't mess up the circumstance. Don't mess it up because the Holy Ghost is in the Word. Wait on it. Because if they give you a number, ask them, did they write it down? And are these new converts or are these recycled saints? Oh, Lord, let me get back to my... I'm sorry. I know protocol. Let me go back to my text. I'm meddling on some stuff. Lord help the day. Preacher, stay in your text. Judges chapter 7, verse 2. And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Why? That's what y'all asking. Lest the Israelites vent themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. See, some of us don't have no money right now because if you had your own money right now, you would say it was you who did it and not God. You don't have the sense to realize whatever money that came in your hand, he allowed it anyway to give him the glory for it all. So that's what God is telling Gideon. He said, you got too many people. He said, man, if I give y'all victory, y'all going to say we did it ourselves. God ain't come and help us. Ain't that some foolishness? You in bondage now. If y'all were so great, why y'all been in bondage all these 7 years? Our own hands have favored. He said, now, therefore, go,
proclaim in the ear of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gideon. And the Bible says when they did that, only 10,000 remained. Why? Because 22,000 left. That's how we got 32,000.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are still, the people you have are too many. Wait a minute, Lord. Now, I'm about to go fight a battle against a great enemy. And you told me 32,000 was too many. Now, they got still more than us, but you told me we had too many. We lose more than half. We lost more than two-thirds of our men.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me still too many. See, mm-hmm. anytime we can give somebody else the credit, that's too many. That's too much. Y'all ain't going to walk with it. But that's what the people are saying to us. And the Lord, verse 4, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. In other words, I'm going to let you see. You can't try. Look, this 10,000, but all they may be 10,000 here, but all 10,000 are not going to fight Gideon. What you don't understand is, yeah, you may have all of these and all of them, but not all of them going to put in the right effort.
Yeah.
That's what he's teaching him. So I will try them for thee, and it shall be that of whom I fail to thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. Let God help you choose your friend. Let God choose who you pray with. Let God choose who will battle the enemy with you. I know you think so-and-so who been with you a long time need to be the one that be with you, but let God choose for you who to go in certain battles with, because everybody is not wanting the same thing you want, and everybody is not tuned in to helping you get the victory God has chosen. Verse 5 says, so he brought them down and the people unto the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, every one of them that lap up water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees, see, that's what's wrong with us now. We don't want to get on our knees. Well, I'm tired. I'm going to lay right here and pray. I'm going to leave you alone. Bow down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that put their hands to their mouth was 300. Remember I told y'all the movie 300? There it is right there. There it is. Judges chapter 7, verse 6. Amen. But all the rest of the people bowed down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by these 300 men that lap will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go. Every man to his place. I want to say to you, because time has definitely gone by, and so I'm going to put a pin right here. I want to say to you this. Let them go. I'm saying this to every one of y'all
that have been trying to make people go the next mile with you,
mm-hmm.
let them go. Mm-hmm. I want you to take this verse, and I want you to look at it real good. Because everybody that God wants to be with you, they're going to be mm-hmm. with you one way or the other. But those that got fear in their heart, those that have doubt about what God is doing,
mm-hmm.
those are not the ones that need to go with you this next journey. God can do more with your less than you can do with your more. My pen is put right here, Judges chapter 7, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
God can do more with less than you can do with more. If they want to go, let them go. But you go with God. God bless you. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to share truth with you. Thank you again, Six Eyes Radio Network, and all the members of this team. Thank y'all for once again receiving me and allowing me the opportunity to come and share with these great crowd of witnesses that's hearing us today. I love you with the love of Christ. Keep praying my health and strength in the Lord as I continue to do the Lord's will while I live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was a good message there, Pastor Bonnet. And something I thought I ought to bring up, something a lot of people get misconstrued, and it comes actually, believe it or not, from the Catholic Church is where we get this. A lot of people call the prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. They call that the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually not.
It's not. That's why I say
it's actually it's his sample prayer, because if you look at Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, the disciples ask him, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples, and he says, thus pray ye, okay? So when you look at Matthew 5, you look at 11, you find it's a sample prayer is really what it is. If you want the real Lord's Prayer, it's in a complete chapter of the Bible, John chapter 17, 1 to 26, is the Lord's Prayer where Jesus prayed for us, not only the disciples, but us even to this day, to have unity.
Amen.
That is the Lord's Prayer.
Amen.
Just for clarity.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's wonderful. John chapter 17.
Verses 1 through
26.
Okay, I'm looking at it now.
The whole chapter.
And this is the term that we're using is the Lord's Prayer. So if Jesus is the Lord, what did the Lord pray? And so we see his prayer. We've seen throughout the four Gospels him praying. But John shares with us some words that Jesus prayed. And this here, we hear, like in verse 9, it says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine. And they are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Heavenly Father. Keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That's why the unity of the body of Christ is so important.
So important for us not to be fighting with one another. I'm so glad Mr. Ken brought that out because I had a pause earlier. That's why y'all heard me say what we call the Lord's Prayer. We call the Lord's Prayer is the prayer that he gave his disciples. And all he did was teach them the template, or as he used, the sample. He gave us a template of prayer. And I did a teaching on that a little while ago when I about a year and a half ago when I broke down what we call the Lord's Prayer. Amen. But it is a template because prayer itself is a petition. Amen. A lot of us we were so constitutionalized on what is called religious practices. And so we don't understand a lot of our things are hooked up in our religious orders or what we do traditionally under our set religion. But a lot of that takes circumvent the relationship with God. And that's why when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he told them, he's not just your father, but he's our father.
Amen. All right. Any other takeaways today?
Amen. I give honor to our Father, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, who is our everything. And without Christ, we can do absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing can we do on our own. We cannot breathe on our own. We cannot inhale and exhale on our own. We couldn't even wake up this morning on our own. If he had not, amen, grace and mercy, if he had not given us the ability to wake up and our tongue was stuck to the roof of our mouth, we could say nothing. Amen to God. So I'm grateful, Pastor Bonnet, for the message today, because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God's Word. And I'm so grateful because so many times before I knew better, before that I was elementary and I was kindergarten. Before I knew, amen, to God be the glory, I would say, I don't have enough. Why me? Why they have more? Why I don't have more? Why my sisters and my brothers them have more? Why they can get this? Mm. Why I can't get that? Why was I the one that had to go through hell and high water? Why was I the one had to be molested, battered, and abused and raped, you know, by my stepfather? Why it was I that had to go to jail? It was I. Why I had to go to prison? Why I had to be rejected? Why I had to be neglected? Why me? Why, Lord, me? You know, was I here just to be a stepping stone? You know, or was I here? Am I here for a purpose? I asked those questions, and I grieved those for many years, and I had so much hatred and bitterness in my heart. I didn't know how to love. I didn't know how to receive love. I didn't know how to give love. Why me? I asked those questions. Why me, Lord? You know, but I seen things that others would not take the accountability or to say or to have a voice of mine, but I would be one that had a voice. Why me, Lord? You know, why do I have to go through all that I'm going through? Why me? Why is it so hard for me to get from point A to point B? Why me? You know, and I asked those questions because I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think that I was worthy enough. I didn't think that I was loved enough. I didn't know how to give love. I didn't know how to receive love. I didn't know, amen, what love was. I thought love came with abuse. I thought love came with, if you didn't hit me, if you didn't love me, if you didn't talk down to me, and if you didn't talk on the garment to me, that I wasn't, that was love. I had it twisted. I had it all twisted. I asked those questions, why me? You know, why I got to go through, why I don't have, and why everybody else have. And I had to learn on my journey, why not you? The question came back, why not you? Because I can use you now. Because I can use you for my glory now, because I know that tasks come to us that sometimes we don't think that we can conquer those tasks. Sometimes we don't think that it is for us and somebody else is better to do it, you know, because you're not qualified. You're not qualified to do it. You're not educational enough to do it. You don't speak well enough to do it. You know, and all of those things. But he said, why not you? Why not you? Because I can use you. I can use you for my glory. If you had not have been through anything, then you wouldn't be able to tell somebody how you came out. You wouldn't be a witness to tell somebody that I did it for you. And there's no exemption of a person that I can't do it for. You know, and I would say the Lord's Prayer, because the disciples asked, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, pray in this manner, our Father. And I learned on this journey that he's not only my Father, but he's our Father. He's our Father that sits high and looks low. He's our Father that knows us from the beginning to the end. He's our Father, our way maker, our miracle worker, our promise keeper. And I asked the question, why am I blind? Why am I the one that had to lose my sight? Why am I? You know, because I didn't feel like I could make it. I didn't feel like I could go through it. I didn't feel like that I could amount to be anything, because I let my disability became to be my problem. But when then I learned that God was my Father and Father, and that I didn't let my sight, I didn't let my vision, and I didn't let my past define my purpose for moving on and pushing toward the mark of a higher calling. So many things that you said today that's just me. That was just me, all in a nutshell. But God says, you know, because I can use you to be a witness, that if I did it for you, because I had all that bitterness and all that anger, I hated me. I hated men. I had brothers, but I was always lyric about my brothers. I was always lyric. I was always uncertain. I was always not trustworthy because the things that their dad done to me, my stepfather, that's supposed to have been a father figure. That's supposed to have been a father figure in my life. But he took my childhood. And then he called me to have hate and bitterness, called me to go into silence, called me to go into suicidal silence, where I wanted to commit suicide. Amen. I tried committing suicide, but God wasn't ready for me to die. I felt like I wasn't fit to live, but God wasn't ready for me to die. So I asked those questions. That was for me today, and I received that today because I didn't feel like I was good enough. And then I didn't feel like, I said, Lord, when he called me, that he ordained me. Why me, God? You know me. You know, I'm a sinner. You know, I'm a sinner. I done did this and I done did that and I done been here and I done been there. You know, so why are you calling to use me, you know, in your ministry? But God had a plan. He had a plan, just like he told us in Jeremiah 29:11, for he knows the plan that he has for us. So He knew my beginning, and he knows my end. And so I'm so grateful for he bringing me out. I'm so grateful that he didn't let me die in my mess. He didn't let me die in my mess. And I'm so glad that he brought me out of my sin and that he taught me how to love and how to give love and how to receive love and how to be humble and obedient to my sisters and my brothers in spite of them the way that they treated me in the past, I still learned to love them in spite of those that smile in your face and those that backstab you. I still learned to love them. And then some think that because you love them that they're using you and you easy pick. But no, I was chosen by God. You know, I was chosen by him. And I give God the glory. I thank you for that message today. because that was for me. Mm-hmm. It was for me. I can't speak for nobody else, but it was for me. Amen. To see me. To see me then and to see me now to where God has me at now. So I'm just grateful that he saved a old wretch like me. Wasn't fit to live, but he was ready for me to die. So I'm grateful for that, Pastor Bunny. Thank you so much. Amen. And I'm
thank you, thank you, Evangelist. Glory to God. To God be the glory. Amen.
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 Thank God. Amen.
Anyone else?
Any other takeaways?
That was a good message today.
God bless you, Sister Emily.
I was just going to ask our listeners as well as our team be keeping me in prayer. I'm not doing so good today.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe God to touch you.
Complete, honey.
Amen. We believe God to touch your body even now. God, we ask you to rejuvenate her now, Lord. Give her strength. Give her courage. And Lord God, to finish her journey in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll give my takeaway because, when I was listening to you, I got a lot out of the message today. And when I was listening to you and you was talking about Eve and the garden and where she had allowed the snake to get in her ear and influence her, you know, the wrong way. And I've seen so many examples of that when people get into someone's ears and are not giving them
good advice.
The spirit. Yeah, the word of God, you know, and influencing them in the incorrect way. I'm going to say the incorrect way. And that person not being totally focused on God's words or even knowing God's word to know the difference between what's good and what's evil. Mm-hmm. And I see that on so many occasions. And so when you mentioned that, I thought about several scenarios where I see that, and I see that a lot. And I'll see people go to Bible study or even church, and no sooner than they're out, sometimes even on church grounds, they're gossiping or, you know, they fall right back into the same you know, scenario of following evil.
Trap.
So, you know, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I just said trap. They fall in the same trap.
Yeah, trap. Okay, trap.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I mean, we're all guilty of it at some point in time. But I feel like as you grow more into the Word of God and understanding, you try to do better. You try not to fall into those traps. Mm-hmm. We do our best, and it's no excuse to say, oh, we're human. You know, we were born in sin. That doesn't mean that you allow yourself to fall into that trap, as you say, just because. So,
amen.
You know, I thought about that when you were speaking on that, and that came to mind, and I'm glad that Missionary Kim pointed out about the Lord's Prayer.
Amen. St. John 17.
Because we recite the other one all the time. But knowing the difference, it education is powerful. That's all I can say, and I'm thankful.
Amen.
And before I say I'm complete, I did want to say that we wanted to keep Miss Uncheckable's family in prayer. She left us on Friday evening, and maybe Evangelist Clayton can speak up, you know, a little bit more on that. But she's a part of AJ and the Squad, the Six Sides Radio Network team. So with that, I'm complete.
Amen. Oh, that was good. Anyone else have a takeaway? Anyone else? Amen. Amen. At some point, I think, too, on Motivational Monday, Lord said the same, one of these, maybe within this month, I want to do a forgiveness program, and one of true release, could it be that my trap is I won't forgive? Could it be that the key to my freedom is in my ability to let go? Lord help today. That's such a y'all really don't understand the move of God, how God really regulates. We're not, none of us are in the same area. We're hundreds of miles apart. But because of technology, we're sitting on the same pews. Amen. And how the Spirit of the Lord is moving in the midst of the things that we're doing. I can't see none of the faces because I'm not there, so I can't feed off of that. Amen. Because as a speaker can feed off the audience. Amen. Based on their response, based on their facial, so many other things, their body language, and a good speaker can feed on that. In the direction of their speaking. But a program like this where there's no visual, amen, I am as blind as those that are on this program that are blind, be it legally or completely. And this is when you know it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is the living word coming afresh to us to prove to us the power of God to touch us even where we are. You know, many things we may have questions about, but the beauty of it is how God will come and answer our questions. How God will send an answer. How God will remind us. Amen. So sometimes we just need reminders. Amen, somebody. That's why one of the main reasons of coming together is to so that we can keep one another lifted up in our faith journey. So that we can be encouragement one to another. Amen. Amen. Years ago on the Motivational Monday, I had testimony service. We would start off with testimony service. I would sing the old song, I Believe I Testify While I Have a Chance. Oh, Believe I Testify While I Have a Chance. I Believe I Testify While I Have a Chance, For I May Not Have a Chance Anymore. I remember Sunday night being testimony services.
where we would testify about the goodness of God, how God brought us through. And it was something about even the children, and I was a child, we would look forward to testimony because we as kids got an opportunity to tell how God was blessing us as children, how we recognized God moving in our lives. And sometimes that's the real thing for all of us. And that's why the enemy tried to keep us shut up and keep us quiet and keep us down and keep us away from the fellowship. The enemy don't want, he know that the right testimony is a key to unlock your freedom. Glory to God. He knows the right word may be the key to call you to win the war. The story today about Gideon, the Lord told him, say, Gideon, if you still afraid after the 300, he said, I want you and your servant, y'all just go down here to the camp and eavesdrop on what they're doing. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. And they heard a testimony. Oh, my God. They heard a testimony of a prophet in the midst. Somebody had a dream, and they understood that dreams came from God. And the man had a dream that Gideon was no more than a tumbleweed, glory to God, a weed that came in tumbling, glory to God, something small, something, you know, when we used to see the old Western and they tumbleweeds were rolling into town. They said this man had a dream that Gideon was a weed tumbling in their town, but everything he took came in, he began to knock over everything. In other words, God had already told them, y'all going to lose. God, I've already told the enemy, I'm going to destroy y'all. I'm going to use somebody small. I'm going to use somebody insignificant. I'm going to use somebody who was the least in his tribe, of the least tribe. He wasn't the least in his tribe of a strong tribe. He was the least in his tribe of a weak tribe. So in other words, God said, I'm going to tell you something that y'all don't even think can work. My God. And I'm going to devastate y'all. Glory. Glory. So sometimes we don't understand. That's the power of God's word. You don't know who needs to hear that I made it. Somebody need to hear that they made it in 2024. We know they made it in the Bible. We read it. But somebody got to stand up and say, I made it. I was on that road of Damascus. I made it. I was on that road of self-destruction. I made it. I was on the road of self-pity. I made it. I was on the road of doubt and unbelief. I made it.
I made it.
So we need to do a program, a victorious program of I made it.
I made it.
Amen. Because it's in our forgiveness. Lord, help today. Lord, help today. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Emma, we got to hit this road. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going back on mute.
Amen. All right. Do we have any final takeaways before we get into the bloodhound of Scripture? All right. Well, then let's get right into our bloodhound. Let's see how all your sniffers have been doing over this last week. If you got the verse that you were supposed to find, and here it is.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
All right, and for our listeners, one more time.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Well, at least now we know where our faith comes from, so let us hear where it comes from one more time.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
It's Romans 10:17.
Well, what do you know? We got a tie between Queen Nye and Mrs. Bonnet. All right. They both on it today.
Yes, Roman
wow.
17.
Wow.
Good job.
All right. Nice job, y'all. That's what I like. Jump right in there. That's the way we're looking for it. Looking for those scriptures and getting right on it. Good job. All right. Well, this is the one you got to sniff out by next week, and here it is.
Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
And you see, it says we are to praise the Lord. He gives us command to praise the Lord with all our heart. Amen. And we'll hear that once again.
Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart and with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
And we even find we are to do it in the congregation, basically in the congregation of the believers. And we'll hear that one last time for our listeners' sake.
Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
And that's what you gotta sniff out by next week. Amen. All right. Well, so do we have any last comments, or are we ready for our closing prayer? All right. Well, want to remind everybody, of course, of the upcoming programs tonight at 9 p.m. on Station 2. You call 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340. 9 p.m. Eastern, of course, is the Six Eyes cover-to-cover study of the Word with yours truly, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang. And we will be beginning tonight at Exodus 15. We have gotten that far, started from Genesis chapter 1. We are now in Exodus chapter 15. So we are studying the great Exodus from Egypt. So you'll find that interesting. And then, of course, tomorrow at 5 p.m., again on Station 2, at 5 p.m. Eastern, is the Six Eyes Lost and Found, where we attempt to get young people or adults, depending on which group we decide to put out there, the names of either adults or young people that are missing, try to get them back returned to their loved ones safe and sound. And we have noticed some results due to the program. So if you can join us, 5 p.m. Eastern, of course, on Station 2. And then, of course, on Station 1 tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern is, of course, Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. That is this station, and you call 424-243-9617. So with all that great programming coming up, there's something for everybody. So join in here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. And so it's up to either Pastor Bonnet and or Evangelist Clayton for a closing prayer. And we'll say God bless and good evening until tonight.
Most gracious Father God Almighty, we come to you humble as we know how on this beautiful day, God. A day that you have made, that you have blessed us in, Father God, to be rejoiceful and to be glad in it. But Lord, you gave us an opportunity, Father God, to study and eat from your table, Father God, where the table is filled, Father God, and our cup is running over, God. Lord, we give you glory, we give you praise, and I so that you pour back into the man of God, Lord, the virtue that he has poured out today, Father God, in your word, God. that we may eat and drink from the fountain, God, in the name of Jesus, and writing your words on the table of our hearts, God, that we might not sin against thee. And we give you the glory, God, and as we leave, God, look down upon each and every household, Father God, in every house that isn't house, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and bless every table, Father God, and every hand of preparation, God. And, Lord, we thank you, and we give you the glory, and we praise your holy name. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. Have a good day, and God bless. Amen. Amen.
God bless.
God bless.